All right, well, I want to encourage everyone to continue holding hands and hugging throughout the message tonight. If you are into that, that'd be great. If not, that's okay, too. It is good to see everyone. It is great to be together on this congregational midweek, fifth Wednesday of the month. And as Mark mentioned, we are going to talk about a state of the church. I'm going to give you a state of the church address. There's no political connection in this by any means. We're just going to talk about where we are, where we've been, and where we're headed in 2020. And so I'll get to that in just a moment, and I'll take you through exactly what we're going to do tonight. But I did want to mention just a few announcements, some things coming up. And a little bit of a change, too. I had sent a message out about us doing a spiritual gifts Sunday this Sunday. We're actually going to push that back to next Sunday. So this Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to continue on with our theme of Disciple of Jesus. And we're going to talk about loving God with all of our heart. And then we'll, you know, move through the series that way. Next Sunday, so February 9th, is when we'll do the Spiritual Gifts Sunday. So I'll preach a sermon about spiritual gifts. We'll have tables set up around the room where you can go and talk to different representatives at those tables and figure out ways that you can use your spiritual gifts here in the church. Also, I think what's great about that Sunday is that we're going to have a camp fundraiser that Sunday, so that'll be set up in the back as usual. There'll be food. I'll send out the food items that you can purchase that Sunday, but it'll be a great opportunity to give to that and then also figure out our spiritual gifts and talk through how you can use those in the church. So those are just a few things coming up. Again, we have the marriage retreat coming up. There was a message sent out today about Saturday Academy, so please take a look at that message. If you didn't get that message, you can come and see me, and I can give you more information about that. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's jump into things here with our 2020 State of the Church address. And so here's where we're headed tonight. I'm going to go through looking back. So where have we been over the past few years, just in terms of numbers and so forth? Then we're going to take a look at the present. I'm going to have all kinds of charts and graphs and things like that. But we're going to talk about the scriptures. I mean, the idea when we look at these numbers is really just, okay, this is giving us a picture of something spiritual that's going on. And that's what we want to focus on. We don't want to get caught up in the numbers. We want to talk about, okay, what is God revealing to us through these numbers? And where are we headed? Where is God taking us? And so that's really the goal of what we're going to do tonight. And of course, we're going to look ahead. What can we accomplish? What does God want us to accomplish this next year? And also thinking about the next decade as well. So if you're on board for that, then let's go ahead and jump into it. I'm going to begin with a scripture because I think that's really where we need to start. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 10. So this is the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. And this is what Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is our prayer. I mean, that is our goal. That is our mission. That is our purpose as individuals, but collectively as a church as well, to realize that God's name is holy. He is good. And we want to make his name known throughout the world, throughout the earth, and especially in our region, in the little place where God has put us. We want God's kingdom, God's rule and reign to come to our lives. And we want it to come to the people around us, but we want it to come to our lives as well. That's a prayer for us. Your kingdom come, God, to my life. Your will be done in my life on earth as it is in heaven. You see, individually, but collectively, our goal is to, just as things are done according to God's rule and reign in heaven, we want that to happen here on earth. That's God's mission for us. That's God's plan. And that's got to be our vision and our purpose as well. And so as we talk about those things, I'm hoping that that will set the stage for what we get into tonight. So let's look back a little bit. It's okay to look back. Paul talks about how, he'll look back, but he doesn't stay there. He's continually striving to move forward. But I think we need to look back and reflect on some of the things that happened or some of the things that we experienced and learn from that so that we can move forward effectively. So let's look back a little bit. I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures here. So the first of which, Matthew 28, verse 19, this is part of the Great Commission. I'll give you the rest of the Great Commission later, but I'm pretty sure most of us know it in the room. But Matthew 28, verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So the Great Commission for us involves baptizing people, bringing them into the kingdom of God. And so we need to ask ourselves, well, that's part of our Great Commission. How are we doing in that area? And honestly, think about that and think about how can we move forward in doing that. Ephesians 4:16, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So there's also an idea that we see here from the scriptures that, hey, this is about being together and being connected and supporting one another and helping one another grow. And we can look at some numbers and determine, well, how effectively are we doing that from this particular perspective? And there's certainly other ways that we can look at it, but I want us to take a look at some of those numbers. So I know those numbers are small up here, but I'm going to walk you through this. So let me take the mic down here so I can walk around a little bit. Okay. So I'm going to talk us through 2016, and then we'll go 2017, 2018, 2019, okay? And I'll try to move through this relatively quickly. I will post this slideshow as well, so you can take a look at these numbers later. But in 2016, you can see the breakdown in terms of baptisms, but we had 13 baptisms that year. Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. In terms of restorations in 2016, we didn't have any. As far as stopped attending, so those are people that decided to not be part of this fellowship anymore. And so in 2016, we had 11 people make that decision that this was not where they were going to be or be part of. And so in terms of overall growth, you can see total here, we were in the positive by 2. And then end of the year, we ended with a total membership number of 127 people. Okay, so that was our 2016 year. In 2017, we had 10 baptisms. You can see the breakdown there. As far as restorations go, we had 2. Amen. That's great. And in terms of stopped attendings, we had 27. And I just want to say a little bit about that. Because, whenever we have people not attend here anymore, that's hard. That's difficult. That's challenging. And I know so many of us in the room felt that. Katie and I were not here at that time, but we were connected with a lot of those people that decided to not be a part of this fellowship anymore. Now, part of that decision was there was sin. And we as a church decided that when there's sin, we're going to address it, and we're going to deal with it, and amen, that's what needs to happen. And so there were people that were disfellowshipped as a result of that, and that needed to happen. And then there were some people that decided to not be here and not be part of things here, and that obviously is their decision. And that's hard. That's hard, and I know that a lot of us feel that, and some of us may still be feeling that. And I just want to encourage all of us to not be afraid to talk about that. If you're still hurting over that, if you're still struggling through that, then we need to talk about that. And let's talk about that in life groups. If you feel like, you want to come and talk to me about that, then I'm open to talking about that. But I think that's just important to point out and reflect on that and really think through that. And again, when you look at growth that year, that's hard. That was a hard and difficult year for us. But I do want to say, you guys persevered through that, and amen to that. We're still here. We're still glorifying God, we're still praising God, and we're still doing His work, and we're still about doing God's work. And that's awesome. That is great. And so the end of the year, we ended with 110 members that year. 2010, we had 10 baptisms. We had two restorations. And then we had 10 stopped attendings. And so we ended with a total of positive two. And end of the year, we ended with a membership total of 112 people. Okay, so we had positive growth that year. In baptisms this past year in 2019, we had three, so a significantly smaller number than prior years. Restorations, you can see two there. I know I've announced that we've had three. The discrepancy there is Chuck Galdioni, who did the restoration studies here, but he decided to worship over in Westchester because he has a lot of connections over there. And that was, you know, that was, I think, a great decision for Chuck. But that's the number discrepancy there. So anyway, just to put that out there, stopped attendings. Look at this. We had significantly fewer people stop attending. And I think that's great. And there's a lot of different things that we could attribute that to, but I do think that life groups have helped with that process, and that's part of the purpose of life groups. So we had a total growth of three, and we ended the year with a membership total of 111 people. So what do we do with that? How do we think about this? Well, I think a few things. I mean, I think it's just important to look at the trends. I think as we consider our stopped attendings from 2019, again, that's a good thing that just a small number of people stopped attending that year. But when we think about our baptisms and we think about our purpose and we think about the Great Commission as baptized people, we got to think about that, right? We got to figure out what do we need to do to glorify God here in the Hudson Valley Church in that way. And we've got to see our individual responsibility in that, and we've got to do whatever we can to help one another accomplish that goal and accomplish that purpose. I believe God wants to do great things in this church in that regard, in a lot of regards, but in particular in that regard. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are seeking God. And the harvest is still plentiful, but the workers are few. And I believe there's some great workers in this room. So let's get out into the harvest fields and let's do what we can for God. Amen. All right, so that's a little bit of a look back. And so we'll go through attendance and just think about how we've done in terms of attendance. I wanted to talk about this scripture, Matthew 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. You know, Jesus was about making sure that people heard the good news. He wanted to make sure that people knew the word of God and knew that the kingdom of God was available to everyone. That was part of his purpose. And so there's a sense that, like Jesus, we need to go out there and talk to people about the gospel and about the good news. I mean, that is part of our purpose and mission. But that's also what we do here on Sundays. The word is preached here on Sunday. And we need to think about, in terms of our attendance, how many people are here in all of the Hudson Valley, because that's what we represent. I mean, that's who we're here to reach out to and make sure that they hear the word of God. How many people are here on a Sunday hearing the word of God? So let's take a look. So on average, 2016, we averaged around 156. 2017, 146. So we went down, but then we're climbing back up, 151. In 2019, 155 people. So that means on average, 155 people here on Sundays hear the word of God. In one sense, that's great. 155 people on average hear the word of God every Sunday. But let's think about how many people there are in the Hudson Valley region. There's a lot of people that we still need to reach. There's a lot of people that we could reach out to bring them here so that they can hear the word of God, so that they can know that the kingdom of God is available to them as well. Right. And so let's get out into the harvest fields. Let's think about contribution as well. How have we done in regards to contribution? Well, I think what we've got to do first is we've got to do our own bit of personal reflection. How are we doing in that area? This is a great time of year to be thinking about, well, what did I give in 2019? Is God pleased with that? And now into 2020, what is God blessing me with? What is God giving me? And how can I give that back to God to glorify Him, to help advance the gospel and advance the kingdom? You know, I know for Katie and myself, we've had a large sum of money given to us, but we also took some time to think through, you know, our finances, you know, how much we make as working here for the church, but also, you know, we have a couple other jobs here and there. We need to consider all that together. And as we've been doing that, we've been thinking about, okay, here's what we have coming in. What can we do? What can we give back to God? And I love this passage. There's certainly a lot more here than what I'm going to share. But in Mark 12, 43 through 44, of course, he's talking about the poor widow. She's there in the synagogue, in the temple. And Jesus is watching. He sees the rich give and how much they give. And then he sees this poor widow and how much she gives. And what did she give? She gave it all. She gave everything that she had. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more in the treasury than all the others." They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. She gave it all. She gave it all. You know, sometimes we think about, you know, we've got to give in a way that it hurts. You know, it's a sacrifice. And I think that there's some good thinking behind that. But as we consider this poor widow, did it hurt her? I mean, we don't know. It doesn't say, the text doesn't indicate. So there's a sense that that's all that she had. So maybe it did. But maybe she loved God so much that she hated those two little coins. Maybe that's how much she loved God. And that's just a thought. I mean, that's just, you know, as I've been contemplating this and thinking about this, it's really inspiring. And by no means am I saying, you know, you should go back and put everything that you have into the plate. If God calls you to do that, then amen. But we do need to think about this from a spiritual perspective and look at examples in the Bible that we can imitate in our own lives. And what does that look like for you? Right? It's not going to look the same for everybody. But what is God calling you to? What is wise for you? And what's going to be pleasing to Him? That's what we need to ask ourselves. And then from a Hudson Valley Church standpoint, you know, what does it look like for us as a church? Well, here are our numbers over the past few years. So, average weekly contribution in 2016, $6,000. What does that equal out to? Average weekly contribution per member, $47.24. On average, that's what we gave on a weekly basis in 2016. Our special contribution was $47,812. 2017, so our average weekly contribution, you can see, went down a bit. But our average weekly contribution per member went up pretty substantially. Special contribution, you see, went up a little bit. 2018, average weekly contribution went down. Our average weekly contribution per member, as you can see, went down a decent amount. But look at our special contribution. I mean, over $10,000 we gave more than the prior year. And that was the year when we started putting the goal before people, 10 times our weekly giving. And you guys stepped up to the plate. And I think that's amazing, and that's something that we should be encouraged about and inspired with. When you go to 2019, so average weekly contribution went down from the prior year, as did our average weekly contribution per member. And our special contribution went down a couple thousand dollars, but still, it's still significantly more than 2017, and we reached and surpassed our goal, and I'll say that the prior 2 years, for sure, which is awesome,
right? Which is great. But as we consider this average weekly contribution per member from 2017 to 2019, that's about $5 less. And we need to ask ourselves, why is that? Why are we giving less per member? And we're not going to take a survey or anything like that, but we just need to ask ourselves, are we giving less and why is that? And sometimes we take a hit financially, and that's the wise thing to do. But in other cases, maybe we pull back for other reasons, out of fear or other reasons. And I just think now is a good time to consider that and think about where we are in terms of our own personal giving and how can we glorify and please God. All right, so let's take a look at the present. Some more charts and graphs for you. But this was from the Christian Life Profile Assessment. I just wanted to give you a picture of the demographics of our church. And I was really encouraged by a lot of this. Number one over here, gender. I know this is hard to see, but hence the pie chart. So a large percentage of our membership is women. Amen for the women. That's awesome. Over here, table two, you can see age ranges of participants. So a large percentage of our membership, 50 to 59, are in the mature range, life-wise, right? And that's great. That's awesome. That is an asset. There's a lot of life wisdom in this room and in this church. And we can use that, right? We can benefit from that. And you can see this other pocket in here. And so this is what is that? Let me see here. I'm not quite in the 50 to 59 range, but I guess I should be. So that's the 30 to 45 range. There's a significant portion of our membership that's in that range. Over here, years as a disciple of Jesus. So the vast majority of our membership has 10 or more years of discipleship to Jesus. This is in terms of maturity of discipleship, this is a mature region of the church, of the New York City church. And that's an asset. Not only are we mature in terms of life experience and have a lot of that, but we also have a lot of years in terms of discipleship. And that's a strength. I mean, that is absolutely a strength. And so thank you for that. In terms of race, ethnicity, this was another thing that I was really encouraged by. I mean, a large percentage of our membership are minorities. And it's a diverse membership. So 30% white Caucasian, but then over here, 24.2%, I believe that's black or African American, and then 28.3% are Hispanic, 6.1% Asian, 11% multiracial. That's cool. That's awesome. That's something that I'm proud of and I love being a part of. So amen to that. All nations, reppin' all nations. Let me just talk you through this really quickly. So current membership as of today is 111. So at the end of the year, we were at 111, but God bless Gigi. She had to go to the Bronx, so amen to that. But then we added a member, which I'll mention her on Sunday, but Kathy Houston is part of our membership. She lives out in the Poconos. Big shout out to, the Poconos crew. And was in New Jersey, but she's decided to be here with us. So amen. That's a benefit for us. So 111 people. I just wanted to highlight some of the structures that we have in place. And so we have an amazing core leadership team. If you were part of that team, would you please stand up at this time? Our core leaders team people, would you please stand up so we can acknowledge you? So our core leadership team is an amazing group, and they act as an advisory board, so I don't mess up too much. And in fact, last night we were talking about some of the things that I was going to talk about today, and they had some great insight for me, and so I appreciate that a ton. But that's the function of that group, and I want people to understand that. They're not a group of deacons, they're not a group of elders, although we have an elder in that group, but they act as an advisory board, and they are extremely helpful in that regard. And so anyway, I wanted to give you guys a shout out and recognize you. We also have life groups, as we know. Our life group, the intention of those groups is to help one another grow and be our best for God. And we have some great leaders that lead those groups. And so if you lead a life group, please stand up at this time so that we can acknowledge you. And if you don't stand up, I'm going to point you out so that you will stand up. Yes. Yep. So yes, amen to our life groups. We also have Life Stage Ministries, and our Life Stage Ministries are our evangelistic tool. That's why they exist. They exist to have fun together, and that's great, but they also exist so that we can have fun events to invite people out, so we can help get the people into studies and then help baptize them. I mean, that's the goal, and that's what we're trying to do there. And we have great leadership there as well. The Zayases have already stood up twice, so, you know, I'll just acknowledge you, you know, at this time. They lead our mature marrieds. Mark and Fiona lead our singles. And the McCulloughs lead our young family life stage ministries. And so although they are the leaders of those groups, please support them. Please help them. Please contribute to the work that they do because it's a big task. It's a lot to ask, and they do a phenomenal job, but it really is a group effort. So thank you to those groups or to those leaders. We have a campus ministry, and I'll talk about some of the great things going on in our campus ministry, but the Kennards lead our campus ministry. They've had to stand up already, so acknowledge you again at this time. But they have great support in that campus ministry. Mike Santori is here somewhere. I'm going to mention Mike again in just a minute, but he's doing a fantastic job. In our NIAC stack Dominican campuses, but does a lot of great work in NIAC. I'll mention that in just a second. And then there's great support up at West Point with the Reinhardts. I mean, that Bible talk is doing awesome. They have a number of cadets that are coming out. There's a number of people that are in studies there, and so they're just doing a fantastic job there. Youth and Family Ministry, so our teens, Shenard and Martine have stepped into that role, leading that ministry. And so their goal is to just have a great time with the teens and really bring those families together. And so I appreciate your work there, but we do, you know, need to support them in that endeavor. Lance and Crystal lead our young teens and preteens. And so big shout out to them. They've stepped into that role, you know, a year ago or so, and they've done a great job with that. And you know, the goal there is to bring the families together and do some great things for our young people. I just wanted to mention our service teams as well. Yvette and Nelson lead that group. Yeah, but you lead it, so I'll acknowledge you first. But if you are a service team leader, I would like for you to stand up at this time. So if you lead a service team, I know we have at least, yep. So yeah, I just appreciate that work a ton. I know I say this over and over again, but Shirley does a fantastic job with our e-bulletin. That is great. It is really helpful. So those are some of the structures that we have in place and the purpose of those structures. We also have a number of Bible studies going on that I wanted to put before you so that you can be praying about these ministries, but also just so that you know. Because I think sometimes we think, wow, are there any studies going on? Are there, you know, how many studies are going on? There's quite a few that are happening right now, particularly on our NIAC College campus. And Mike has done a phenomenal job reaching out to the campus students there. All of those studies were generated and started by Mike. 8 studies. That's awesome.
West Point, there are 6 studies going on. Sherelle and Chris have initiated those. So I should say this. All 8 of those at Nyack College are male student athletes at West Point. There are 2 female cadets that are studying, and then 4 male cadets that are studying over there. So, and 2 that just started this week. So be praying for those ministries. I mean, that's very, very encouraging. We do have some other studies that are happening. Marrieds-wise, there are 4. Singles, there are 1. So in total, you do a quick math, let me see, 19 studies going on. And so I wanted to give you a picture of that so you knew that number, but also percentage of members in studies, 16% of our members are in studies right now. So think about that. We have 20 studies going on, but 16% of our members are in studies, okay? So it's great that we have those studies going on, but let's get that percentage up. At some point in the year, let's have everybody in a study. That doesn't mean that you have to be the one that goes out and finds a study. If you do that and that's your gift, then amen to that. But at least let's have a goal of, hey, maybe that's not my gift, but I can be in there with somebody and help somebody get to know Jesus and fall in love with Jesus and decide that they want to make him Lord and enter the kingdom of God. Okay, let's take on that goal this year. Sorry, I jumped ahead to the future, but you know, I just wanted to give you a glimpse into that. But I'll just quickly run through this. We've talked about this already in one of my sermons, but here are our strengths as a region according to the Christian Life Profile Assessment. And the goal of the assessment is just to look at the health and well-being of our members. Okay, when we look at the other numbers in terms of baptisms, in terms of restorations, you know, that gives us a picture of how we're doing evangelistically. And that is part of our purpose and part of our mission. But another part that we need to look at is how healthy are we? How are we doing as a body? And this gives us a glimpse into that. It doesn't tell the whole story, but it gives us a glimpse into that. And so in terms of humanity, I mean, and by humanity, it means that we believe that all people are loved by God and that everybody needs Jesus to be saved. And we scored almost perfectly on that. And I think in terms of just, you know, overall Christian health, but in terms of being evangelistic, that's an important belief to have in place. And so that's a great strength. Authority of the Bible, amen to that. That's a great strength. Personal God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, eternity, that life exists beyond just this realm. So important beliefs that we have in place. In terms of weaknesses, I've highlighted these, but fasting, as you can see, and probably isn't surprising, right, is our greatest weakness, according to the Christian Life Profile Assessment. So I've preached on this already, and I will say, as I preach this Sunday, fasting is something else that I'm going to hit on. It is a primary discipline in our spiritual lives. And if we're not fasting, then we're missing out on something. Now, I'm not saying you have to be, you know, supernatural fast type of person, but how can you engage this discipline to grow spiritually? And how can we help each other do that? Meditation, just how are we dwelling on the Word of God and the things of God? Giving away my faith. I mean, there's probably some connection there in terms of how many studies we have going on or don't have going on. So let's, you know, think about that. Giving away my money, okay, going back to our contribution and thinking about what we're giving per member. I mean, I think the $44 is good, but I think we can do better than that in the Hudson Valley Church. And so, you know, this is revealing that as well. And then joy, we could grow in joy. And we need to think about, why is it that that's not one of our strengths? Is it the culture, right? Is there something about the culture that we live in that is impacting our spiritual lives, right? And what's the correlation there between some of these disciplines that we're not practicing, and maybe that's contributing to our lack of joy? And there's probably a lot of different ways that you could look at that, but I think an important number to consider. So that's a little bit about where we are. That just gives us a glimpse into where we are. But where can we go?
Right? Where does God want to take us as a region, individually and collectively? Well, I know that the Great Commission says this. Hasn't changed, still the same, still great, and still a commission. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the call. That's our call. That's our task, right? Is to be disciples of Jesus and to make disciples of Jesus. If we could summarize our mission here as a Hudson Valley church, it is to make disciples. We need to be a disciple-making factory. That's what we do. And none of us are perfect disciples yet. None of us obey everything that Jesus has commanded. Right? And so there's a sense of that we're still trying to help each other grow in that regard. Obedience seems like, it can seem like such a negative word, but it is our freedom. It is our connection. It is how we dwell in love with Jesus. We've got to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. But another part of that is baptizing, right? How inspiring is that when you see somebody move from darkness into the light? And to know that God has called you to that and that you can participate in the greatest endeavor in all of life, helping someone move into eternal life. That's not a burden. That's an opportunity. That's a gift, a privilege, and an honor. We can serve the King in that way. And so from that, we've developed a mission statement for the Hudson Valley Church. And it connects with what I just mentioned. The Hudson Valley Church grows and produces mature disciples of Jesus. That's it, really. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do. We're growing, so that means we need to bring people in so that once they're here, you know, we can help them mature and move along and become mature as we try to become mature as well. And what that looks like, a mature disciple looks like somebody who has the character of Christ. All those virtues that we measure in the Christian Life Profile Assessment, that's the character of Christ. And that's one of the ways that we can measure our progress in that endeavor. And by nature, which means more naturally or more habitually, love God, the greatest commandment here, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They love one another and love their neighbor as themselves. That's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to be. What an opportunity. What a gift and what a blessing. And so as we've reflected, you know, how have we done in this regard? I think I've painted a picture of that. But moving forward, how can we embody this? How can we embrace this? How can we be the church that Christ has called us to be? Well, I mean, this is what we're trying to do. And so what I want to do next is just lay out some goals for you. But I want you to think about some personal goals for the year already, you know, if you haven't done so already. What are the ways in which you're trying to grow personally? How are you helping other people to grow as well? And how are you helping people to know God? And so here are just some corporate goals or some church goals that I'd like to present to us tonight. So number one, growing members. We are growing members. We are a church that grows, as measured by the Christian Life Profile Assessment. In my mind,
the most important thing to me is that you're healthy and that you're growing. That's what matters most to me. That's what I think about, that's what I pray about, that's what I'm concerned with. So I want you to be healthy, and I want you to be growing. And we can measure that by the Christian Life Profile Assessment. So we'll take it again in July and look at the different areas that we've grown in. And my prayer, my hope is that we grow in every area, that we're growing in every area. Number two, every member gets into at least one Bible study this year. It seems like a lofty goal, but I think we can do that. I think that's doable. I think that's achievable, and I think we all want that. I think we all want to be helping someone to know God. And as I think about our ministry, we have a lot of families here. And I think one of the great and most effective ways that we can reach out to people and, you know, invite people in and get to know them and they get to know us, it's just by being hospitable. And so maybe that's the goal that you set for yourself on the way to getting into at least one Bible study. It's just being hospitable and allowing people into your home and to know you. Excuse me. I believe that if we do that, I put that goal first. I believe that if we do that, I believe that this next goal will happen because we've done the prior goal, because we've planted and we've watered. I think when we do that, I think we'll baptize 10 people. And I think if we did that, and if we had no stopped attendings, which I believe is absolutely possible, I think especially as we continue to get in there with one another, as we get in there with one another and love one another and hold on to each other and help each other grow and stay connected through our life groups and otherwise, I think that's possible too. Now imagine that. Imagine a year with no stopped attendings and 10 baptized people. That's a plus 10. That would be a successful year, and I believe that God would be pleased with that. And so the last one I have up there, increase our average giving per member to $50. So, you know, as I mentioned before, we've got to take, you know, our own personal responsibility with that. We just need to think about where we are. Maybe $50 for you is not doable. Then that's okay. I mean, it's about you and your relationship with God and what he's calling you to, what's going to be pleasing to him. Maybe $50 is too small. But I think as a region, as we've looked at the way things have changed over the years, you know, we've averaged per member, we're decreasing, we're going down. I think we could get to $50. I think that's doable. I think that's achievable, and I think that would be pleasing to God. So that's the address. That's where we've been. A picture of that. That's a picture of where we are. And this is just a picture of where we can go. And don't let me set the ceiling. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, the roof is the ceiling. No, I'm kidding. That's Jordan said that. But anyway, you can go beyond that, obviously. But let's just work to glorify God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, to be here with you tonight and with one another is such a gift, is such a blessing, is such an honor, and is such a joy. Thank you for saving us from the dominion of darkness. Thank you for saving us from the life that we had and that we were headed towards, the destruction that was to be ours. Thank you that now you've given us and called us into this kingdom of eternal light and eternal blessings and joy and peace and freedom in your spirit because of the sacrifice that Jesus
gave. Surrendering it all as he was blameless, perfect, and without blemish, so that we, a sinful and corrupt and broken people, could know your grace, your peace, your eternal love. Let us never forget that. God, and as we've spent this time tonight reflecting, help us to do so with eyes and hearts of love and a desire to learn and a desire to grow and a desire to be better. Not because you're looking down on us, but because you're calling us to something greater. God, I pray that the next year for us as Hudson Valley Church, and really the next decade, would be one of spiritual success beyond what we've ever seen. God, I believe that you're calling us into great and amazing and inspiring things and inspiring places, places that are beyond our imagination. And I just pray that we would have the faith and the trust and the heart to be led wherever you are taking us. God, we just want to please you with our lives. I pray that every day we could individually and as a church put the biggest smile on your face. God, we love you. We thank you. We are so grateful for you, especially for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.